Well, we are beginning our first Sunday of the Lenten season. Lent just got kicked off this past Wednesday at Ash Wednesday service. And so we are in the waiting period, waiting to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on Easter morning. And so for the next 5 weeks leading up to Palm Sunday, we're going to be walking through a sermon series called Experiencing the Gospel in the Old Testament. There are five moments throughout the Old Testament that we're going to just kind of live in for the next several weeks about God interacting with his people and God showing his grace, his mercy, his gospel through those stories in the Old Testament. So today, we begin where it all started, right? Back in Genesis chapter 3. The beginning of guilt, the beginning of sin, the fall of Adam and Eve. Now, I'm guessing this is a story that most of us are pretty familiar with. Adam and Eve, they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God commanded them not to eat. And from that moment, just to imagine the moment that that fruit touches their lips, the moment that they listen to the word of somebody else, rather than the word of God, their creator. That moment, those two human beings experienced something that they had never, ever experienced before. Guilt. Can you imagine that? Never experiencing guilt. But this moment marks the point in human history where Adam and Eve, they recognize their own wrongdoing. And this guilt, this sinfulness, it comes alive inside them. And they can feel it, they can sense it in their own flesh. What used to be beautiful and pure and holy is now sinful and embarrassing and shameful. And the very first instinct that they have in response to their guilt is to what? Let's see. It says they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. I think that's really significant, you guys. The very first instinct of the first humans to experience guilt is to sew fig leaves, to cover it up. To act as if everything's okay, maybe? To act as if nothing ever happened? To hide it? And as the story goes on, Adam and Eve, they just keep on sowing fig leaves, don't they? They hear God walking out in the garden one beautiful morning, and they hide in the leaves of the bushes. God confronts them. He says, why are you hiding from me? How do you know that you're naked? Did you, Adam, did you eat from the tree I told you not to eat? What does Adam do? He keeps sowing fig leaves. He says, yes, Lord, I ate from the fruit, but Eve, she's the one who gave me the fruit, so you should go talk to Eve really quick. And of course, God says, Eve, what's going on? She's like, yes, Lord, I did eat from the fruit, but the serpent's the one who deceived me and he gave it to me. You should go talk to the serpent. The instinct, the reaction to guilt is to sow fig leaves, to hide it, to cover it up, to push the guilt onto somebody else, to act as if everything's fine, sowing fig leaves. Now, it's kind of wild to think about. Every single one of us, every single human who ever existed, shares Adam and Eve as our common ancestral grandparents. We've inherited the sin that came alive in them. And I also believe every single one of us inherited this instinct to sow fig leaves. No matter how mature we might be in our faith, no matter how good we are at resisting that instinct, all of us, I think, when it comes to guilt and shame and the messiness and the imperfect things in ourselves and in our lives and in the people around us, we want to cover it up. We want to hide from it. And this is for all ages. It doesn't discriminate. I think you would see this instinct to sow fig leaves, at some place like a St. Andrew's middle school youth night. That's right. You'll see this instinct to sow fig leaves. I know there are a few middle school parents in here, maybe. Maybe a few of you have volunteered to be at one of these youth nights before, and you know, you may have seen something happen like this, where there will be a group of middle school boys, and they will be roughhousing or just messing with each other, messing around. They'll be jumping on a couch, something like that. And you'll go up to them, and you'll say, "Hey, knock it off. Quit pushing your buddy like that. Quit jumping on the couch like that." And their first instinct is to say, "Wasn't me. I didn't do it," right? You guys have experienced that before, I'm sure. But even if you know for a fact they saw you see them, right? You know that I saw you jump on that couch. Why are you trying to hide it, right? It's our instinct. And it's no accident that I picked this picture to show you guys. This is from one of our middle school movie nights several weeks ago. And I guess I'll just say this. One of the couches that's in that photo is no longer with us today. But that's our instinct, to sow fig leaves, act like it wasn't me, push the guilt off to somebody else, pretend like everything is just fine. Whenever me and Ren, my wife, whenever we were in high school, we got to go to a national youth gathering together. Raise your hand. Has anybody been to one of the LCMS national youth gatherings before? Awesome. Very cool. If you're not super familiar, it's this amazing event. Every 3 years, our church body hosts a conference for youth around the world. And thousands and thousands and thousands of youth come together, and they worship together, and they learn about Jesus together, and it's a really, really special event. The next one is in San Antonio. So anybody here who's going to be in high school in 2028, we're going to San Antonio together, so that's going to be a lot of fun. But me and Ren, we went to the one back in 2016 in New Orleans. Here's the theme from that year. And we were down in New Orleans, and we had a few hours for one of the days to just explore the city. And it was a ton of fun. We were down where all the shops are at, all the food, the markets. There was music everywhere. It was super, super fun. And there was this one road that was blocked off because they were filming a movie. And they were letting people walk up and down the sidewalk to like be in the background of the filming of this movie. I thought it was really cool. Unfortunately, our pastor, he didn't let us go walk through the background of the movie, which we've still to this day are still kind of bummed about. But the movie that they were filming, it turns out, it's about these group of best friends, this group of women. And they grow up, and it kind of follows their lives, and they've all grown apart, and there's kind of a different character in each woman. One of them is kind of the working mom. One of them's kind of just a mess. She's just wild all over the place. One of them is struggling financially, but one of the friends, she made it. She grew up to be the picture-perfect person. She's this motivational speaker. She's this established author. She's really famous and wealthy. And to top all that off, she has this beautiful, committed, and loving marriage. She's the picture-perfect woman, the picture-perfect wife. Everything just looks perfect. And you find out really quickly in the movie that this image she has is really just a bunch of fig leaves. You learn that her husband is having an affair. And not only that, but she and her husband are covering up his affair just to maintain their image, so that the public sees them as this perfect, beautiful couple. And of course, that leads to all sorts of other tumultuous things in her life, her emotional state. Things are messy in her life. And what does she do to cover up the guilt and the shame and the messiness? She sews fig leaves. She pretends like things are okay. She pretends like she doesn't struggle with anything, like she's got it all figured out. And I want us to think about that for a second. For our own lives, for our own selves, for our own messiness, our own sinfulness, whatever it is. Do you sow fig leaves? Do you feel a pressure to appear like some perfect person, like you don't struggle with certain sins or addictions, different emotional states? Do you feel like you have to act as if everything is okay? In the garden, Adam and Eve changed the course of history, right? Introducing sin into the world and guilt into the world. And with sin comes judgment and punishment. And what does God do to Adam and Eve? He casts them out of his garden. Right? That's the last thing we read from Genesis 3. He cast them away. But before he cast them out of the garden, God does something really important that I want to hone in on for a second. I just imagine God looking at these two creatures, these two people who are the height of his creation, that he made in his own image, that he loves so much. And he looks at the clothes made out of fig leaves. He looks at their pitiful attempt to cover up their own nakedness and their own shame. And so before he casts them out, he says, your response to guilt was to sow fig leaves, but let me show you what my response to guilt is. Let me show you what I'm willing to do for your guilt. Let's see what he does. Before he casts them away, it says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife. And he clothed them. I don't know, that sounds like so simple, but think about that. Where does a garment of skin come from? God looks at his people who have sowed fig leaves to cover their guilt, and he says, what am I going to do about guilt? I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to take some innocent being. I'm going to shed its blood. I'm going to let it die. And I'm going to use that sacrifice to cover your guilt and your shame and your nakedness. And what I hope you guys see in these few words here is just a picture, just a little glimpse of what God does for your guilt. For our guilt, for the guilt of the world. Our instinct is to sow fig leaves. God's instinct is to sacrifice. And not just some animal. He doesn't cover us with the hide of some, I don't know, I guess we don't know what animal it is. Maybe a cheetah or something. No, God sheds his own blood. He sacrifices himself for you. And the blood of Jesus, dead on the cross, doesn't just cover up our guilt. It doesn't just hide it. It doesn't just pretend like it's not there. It actually cleanses you and frees you and restores you back to what God intended for you. That's what God has done for you, for your guilt. Towards the end of that movie, this picture-perfect woman with the picture-perfect life and marriage, she's on some cooking show, and she's in front of this big live audience, and she gets a question asked to her about her marriage, I think it is. And the question just kind of, it makes her snap. She's pushed to the breaking point, and she's just tired of covering everything up. And so she has this big moment of confession. She just admits to everybody that things are not pretty. She admits about her husband's affair. She admits that she is struggling emotionally with all sorts of things. She admits that she is not the perfect person that she pretends to be. And what I hope you guys understand and take away from today is that we are all free from any pressure or obligation or expectation to pretend to be perfect. We are free from the pressure to sow fig leaves. You don't have to act as if you don't struggle with things, as if you don't have sins. You don't have to pretend. And whenever we confess those things and admit those things freely before God, we confess our guiltiness, not just to get it off of our chest, not just to make ourselves feel better, but we confess our guiltiness while trusting that God has actually dealt with our guiltiness. That's why it's confession and absolution. They always go together. We confess our sin, trusting that God has sacrificed himself for our sin. So, here in just the next minute or so, I want to give us the space to stop sowing fig leaves, to admit before God and each other that we are not perfect, and to trust that God has been perfect for us and has dealt with our guilt. All right, you guys ready? Okay. If you admit before God and before each other that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, then simply say, "Yes, I am. Yes. Yes, I am." If you admit before God and before each other that you are not perfect, then simply say, "No, I am not. No, I am not." And if you admit before God and before each other that you are guilty, just say, "Yes, I am. Yes, yes, I am." Well, dear friends, in response to your confession and your admission of guilt, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the good news to you that Jesus has dealt with your guilt. I announce his promises to you, which is this: I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.